Park Avenue, Emeryville, California, 94608. It is now 4:04 p.m. The City of Emeryville welcomes comments, including criticism, about the policies, procedures, programs, or services of the city, or of the acts or omissions of the City Council. Speakers shall not use threatening, profane, or abusive language which disrupts, disturbs, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the Emeryville City Council. The city is committed to maintaining a workplace free of unlawful harassment and is mindful that the city staff regularly attend council meetings. Discriminatory statements or conduct that would potentially violate the Fair Employment and Housing Act, that is, statements or conduct that is hostile, intimidating, oppressive, or abusive, is per se disruptive to a meeting and will not be tolerated. If a speaker engages in speech that appears unrelated to the subject matter jurisdiction of the city and is disruptive to the meeting, I will provide a warning stating that your speech is disruptive and outside the subject matter jurisdiction of the city. After that warning, and in accordance with Government Code Section 54957.95, I will ask you to remove yourself from the proceedings. Roll call, please.
I'd like the agenda, a copy of the agenda, please.
Roll call.
Mayor Carr.
Present.
Vice Mayor Sullivan.
Here.
All parties are present. Count them.
Thank you.
I'd like a copy of the agenda, please.
Public comment.
Come call on, is there an extra copy?
A copy, they're on the table, sir. Comment cards from the city staff in anticipation of this meeting now.
Thank you. Is there any public comment?
Yes.
Welcome.
Okay, I'm gonna fucking use profanity at this meeting and all Emeryville public meetings. I'm gonna fucking use profanity.
You're starting the timer, Captain Galange?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you give me credit for the time I just got interrupted? That was a Brown Act violation by the mayor. Please don't interrupt me, Mayor. You're not allowed to by law, by the Brown Act. I'm going to fucking use profanity, and good luck in stopping it. I refuse to have a situation whereby the council members get to use profanity at public meetings and the public doesn't, because that's what you're, the power that you are asserting here, and I'm saying no to that. Furthermore, I'm not going to accept any elected official or any government official, for that matter, to censor the content of my comments. So with regard to speaking, quote, on topic that you just made allusions to, fuck that. I get to decide about the comment, the content of my comments. You can't say that me using silence or poetry is not speaking on topic. You can't say that, not ethically, not legally, and not morally. So now I'm concerned with the Emeryville Police Department has foregone writing tickets for people blocking bike lanes. And here's this literature I'm going to pass this out to you in a minute. Over a 7-month period recently, 52 complaints for vehicles blocking bike lanes in net one ticket. And one of the complaints was from me and the officer Hintergard just patently refused. I almost got hit by a car because I swerved out of a bike lane that was blocked by a truck. And Officer Hintergard just refused to issue a ticket. And he said that he won't because the truck driver was working. So this is unacceptable. Swerving out into a vehicle lane from a traffic lane, Captain Galange, is the most dangerous legal thing a bicycle can do, swerving out, crossing the white line. And I almost got hit. Insurance actuaries will tell you that that's one of the most dangerous, it is the most dangerous legal thing a bicyclist can do. And so I resent having the Emeryville Police Department be party to this.
Thank you for your comment, sir.
Okay, now I'm going to hand out the literature. One goes to you. And pass these down, please. Thank you. And then the fire, fire guy is not gonna get mine because there's, I don't have enough copies.
Moving on to that. Item number four, approval of the January 26, 2026 regular meeting action minutes. Is there any motion to approve these minutes?
I'll move to approve the minutes.
I'll second. Motion made by Vice Mayor, seconded by the Mayor. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
No action items today. Informational item 6.1, Alameda County Fire Department report, Chief West.
All right. You didn't get up in the morning, so we were going through our reports for the month of January and also February. As in previous meetings, so you just gone with our round reports. January 25, but to the previous month, so January 26. We had a total of both stations, 221 calls for January 26th. This is the first one the other day. Also, next day, because basically can break down the different number of calls, but I'm more strict to the call that was significant on the report on January 20th. 2026, we had a vehicle fire. Was around on the scene. Vehicle on the side of the self-injuries. CHP is a fire reserve. Within the crew's fire. On January 21st, 2026, we had a police responded to the structure. Basically, this was I like both sides. This was a good fire. So let's say the sprinkler was activated. It helped mitigate the atmosphere. The crews around, no one was injured. All the right people, 40 contacts were engaged. And we left the intensivated plans. No. So I'm sorry. Really do significant events for January. So we go to February. Again, we start off with the previous month of the previous year. So in February 2026, there was a total of 197 calls. Year to date, total 419 calls. Again, the next page is the breakdown of the development went on and significant calls for February 2026. They have a vehicle fire. Any village units in Oakland responded to this fire as a traffic number fire that was fully involved. Both agencies work together and there is a meeting really pretty quickly. February 14th, 2026, I'm not sure it's running on shell metal. So basically, this terminal as a structure fire, but this was a fully involved passenger car that stopped the world car on the train tracks. And prevent the spread of the fire from the freeway to any structures. Luckily, no one was injured. Again, the human includes ensuring that the fire from the train tracks didn't spread from the structures. Other than that, I was significant damage to the train tracks, but that was reported as well. Other than that, these are the results for February. If you have any questions, please let me know. If not,
thank you for the report. Any concerns? Is it on that railroad track fire that I read about that incident? So that was eventually taken on that, right?
Yes.
And actually, quite expediently, right?
Yes.
That's great. Thanks for making sure of that. Appreciate your department. Please convey that to them. And then the last one, it's the same one.
Yeah, it's the extension on the narrative. The narrative, but it's important.
Any questions?
Nope, not really.
Okay, so we're going to 6.2.
Public comment for 6.1, please.
Oh, yes. Do you have a public comment at this point?
Yes, I do. Okay. Again, I'm going to state because Chief Jennings wasn't here to hear. I'm going to fucking use profanity at these public meetings. And the mayor just said that we, the public, cannot use profanity. So first of all, it's not like, for instance, the word fuck, that's not profane, that's obscene. So there's that little problem you have. Second, I'm going to do it because the Emeryville City Council does it at public meetings. And so, Chief Jennings, I refuse to accept a scenario whereby they get to use profanity and we, the public, doesn't. I'm not going to accept that. If you want to arrest me, that's up to you.
Is there a public comment on 6.1?
Yes, which brings me to the next point about 6.1. The mayor nor anybody else, no elected officials, no government officials get to be content arbiters. We get to decide the content. So right now I'm talking about 6.1, and the mayor might think that I'm not. She's free to think that. But I'm telling you, everybody here, I am talking about 6.1 right now. If the mayor doesn't like it, tough luck. I'm talking about 6.1. You, the government, don't get to tell me when I'm speaking on or off topic. I think this is on topic. In my mind, this is on topic, and I'm not going to let you come in because I know you can't be trusted with treating people fairly and equally. And so you're some old grandmother that's going to come in and not speak on topic. You're going to let her get away with it, some very sympathetic character, because I've seen you do it. And so because you let some people get away with speaking, quote, off topic, you're going to let everybody do it, Ms. Carr, Mayor. And as an attorney, I would think you would know this. And then lastly, I'll say to put the mayor and the less than my vice mayor, but the mayor, you're supposed to be actively listening to me. This is in the code. This is in the code of ethics. Right now, you're not listening to me. And I know you're not, because your eyes aren't meeting my eyes. And that's what the city attorney says you must do. You took a course in this, conducted by the city attorney and the city manager, and you're not doing it. You're not listening to me.
Item 6.2, Police Department Crime Statistics and Crime Prevention Efforts. Captain Colange.
Thank you, Mayor. In January, we saw the continuation of some mail thefts from apartment complexes from throughout the city. Depending on the nature of the break-in to those complexes, written as either residential burglaries and or mail thefts. So you'll note a rise in residential burglaries as one of our stats for January, year to date thus far. It's peaked in January, and then as we get into February, you see that it sort of flattens out again. In addition, we had a few reports of catalytic converter thefts on service streets. There were four successful and one attempt theft of those. A suspect has been identified. It's connected with a series of these in San Francisco, so we are working with San Francisco PD to address that. Types of cars that were targeted, just for general awareness, include 2008 Toyota Corolla, 2006 Honda SUV, 2015 Toyota Corolla, 2006 Toyota Camry, and 2004 Toyota Camry. For auto burglaries, which are different than catalytic converter thefts, auto burglary when they break a window to take on the car, catalytic converter theft is a brand theft from the vehicle. Auto burglaries are down 38% as compared to the month prior. Moving through the Moving through the next few pages, you'll note some charts which represent the year after year decline as compared to year to date last year for violent crimes, for property crimes on the next page. Auto burglaries are up by one, but basically flat. The following pie chart, this is reflective of our consistent breakdown of percentages from violent crime in the orange to property crimes, hovers around 85 to 15% for that. Following page covers our adult arrests in January, which the arrest rate was down by one person, or down 2% change from the year prior. And juvenile arrests were up by two people, which these small numbers obviously change the percentages quite a bit when you see a swing. Next.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have those up on the screen.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Chief. I got it. Thank you.
Next page is about juvenile arrests. You'll see that there were, we talked about already, the five arrests. There's the series of crimes in the top right corner as to what they were arrested for. The bottom left reveals our commitment to restorative justice and juvenile detentions. 100% of them were released to their parents, as is consistent with the county's trajectory and posture. And then by age and by violation. Following page includes a different way of looking at the violations for the juveniles. The following page after that shows that petty thefts, color-coded, remain our most by volume crime within the city, spread evenly across the three beats geographically throughout the city, following thereafter by auto burglary and grand theft. As you saw already in the pie chart, the city continues to suffer from property crime in a huge portion as compared to violent crime. Some highlights are below for your perusal later that included assault in a parking lot and a robbery that occurred in the Oaks Card Club. Looking for patterns, especially among these relatively few numbers, was difficult, but we have good leads on many of those cases. And then the residential burglaries, which is not highlighted here, that I mentioned earlier, we have also have a good lead on a few people that are suspected of committing more than one, and we're following up with evidentiary search warrants into those folks. Then you'll see the standard beat map package on the following page, followed by a pointillistic map of the auto burglaries and where they occurred in January. The mix between sort of commercial districts and residential districts, and between main thoroughfares and side streets. Following page is a line chart, which shows the auto burglary. The blue line is in 2025, goes month by month from left to right. You'll see we are one higher in January of 26 as compared to last year. And then I'll predict it in the February pack in a second. We'll see how it's compared to that thereafter. That's what you have for January crime stats. Any questions?
From you,
Nina? Yeah,
from me.
February
2026, we continue to see a downward trend across all sectors, violent and property crimes and other calls for service. You'll see that the residential burglaries, which had spiked to 7 in January, elevated only to 10 in February, making the difference there 3. So we've seen that flatten out. And then the grand thefts, of which were 5% up this year, include those catalytic converter thefts that I mentioned. If that's a PD, we can make some headway in making some arrests and stemming that. Right. The following page shows that our this year's is in orange as compared to the blue columns of 2025. We are down or flat across all violent crime sectors. The rape, I talked with the detective about, this is not a general threat to the public at large. And is under investigation currently. At this time, no cause for larger concern. Property crimes continue to be down. Burglaries are down. Commercial residential burglaries are up, as I've discussed a few times already in this meeting. And grand theft is up by 1. Petty thefts, although still the highest by volume, are still down from the year prior. February, the breakdown in the pie chart of violent to property crimes was 85% to 15%. Adult arrests were up in February from last year, 14% increase at 147. Juvenile arrests were down in February with 0 in the month. The following page is basically a repeat of the January juvenile arrest data because there were no juvenile arrests in February. Same the following page. After that, the beat titled Beat Matrix, February 2026, we see the continued trends of petty theft, grand theft, and auto burglary leading the way. Three more mail thefts in February as well, just continuing that trend. There was a highlight that included a robbery in the Avalon Public Market. Officers located the suspect and detained him without incident. There was a robbery outside of the Oaks Car Club. The subject was identified by Emeryville and was later located and arrested by San Leandro Police Department for his warrant emanating from that case. And then the last one, commercial burglary at the East Bay Bridge Center, where 1, 2, 3, 4 locations all next to each other in the same sort of strip center were had a window smashed in and looted in one event. The following includes calls for service and crime reports during February. The following date includes our standard beat map with legend. Auto burglaries in February 2026. These are a little bit more grouped along the 40th Street corridor where intersection San Pablo. And then you see a few up in the northern part of town along Shawnee and Hollis and the neighborhoods therein. Auto burglaries, February 2026 is a line chart. So whereas before we only saw the one dot from January, now we have a bit of a line until goes to February, which was 16 in February. So it's flat from month to month. And as you can see from last year, February through April of last year, it peaked and it spiked up to around 25 in those months. So as it were, as compared to last year.
Any questions? Yeah, I do a question. Just reading the highlighted material on the February 2026, the commercial burglaries at the East Bay Bridge Center. I heard from some of the businesses that maybe there was a more recent set of burglaries. Maybe they were referencing this. They get the details, but is that something that you're since February, you know, the last 2 weeks, you've been observing continued attempts, or is that something you're?
Yes.
And I guess how are we addressing that?
Yes. No, this is the only event of this type that's occurred at that strip
center. They must.
So perhaps they're just referring back to that, but they may have continuing concerns about future attempts. But we'll reach out to them and see.
That's it.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for keeping the auto low. It's really, really glad to see the trend here at the auto. So.
Thank you.
And let's keep it that
way. You are best man.
So, do you have a public comment?
Yes, always have a public comment. Let me restart my camera. So I'd like to commend a specific Emeryville police officer. And now I can't remember his name. He's an obscure one. In my book, is Justin or Jason?
Justin Cotton.
Yes, Justin. My daughter was involved, got hit. Her car got hit in a hit and run injury accident. My daughter's car was hit from behind. And Officer
Julian.
Officer Julian Castanon, you got it, showed up very professional. And in addition, my daughter's young, and so she was, upset. She had a whiplash, and the officer was really professional. And he also offered, he was a calming presence, according to my daughter. So kudos to Officer
Castanon.
I'll get it. Kudos to that guy. That's a good hire. Okay, who's a bad hire is our new captain right here, Mr. Kalanch. So the Emeryville Police Department doxed me and my family illegally. They gave, they released public information to the public through a Public Information Act request. And then that person put that information on me out in the internet and went viral. And that information was not redacted. It was my home address and my personal telephone number. And the Emeryville Police Department did not redact it, as they're required by law to do. So, in the meanwhile, I've been getting all these threatening calls, including calls against my daughter. And so I'm not really happy with the Emeryville Police Department right now. So I called up Mr. Kalanch. I asked him, did you do it? Well, I know you did it. I have the evidence. You did it. So I want you to hear you say we did it. And I want the Emeryville Police to apologize.
Do you have any discussion on this? Any other?
No discussion for you.
Thank you. Moving on to item 6.3, Police Department Overtime Report by Captain Kalanch.
Thank you, ma'am. Police Department Overtime Report for January 2026. There are many subsections within this report with all these blue lines on it, but overall, the takeaway is that filling patrol staffing and backfilling for vacancies in patrol staffing carries the brunt of our overtime expenditures. This includes minimum staffing, vacation relief, backfill, sort of many of the things you see here. As compared to prior months and years, in January 26, we were down from our expenditures of the month prior, December 2025. For January 26 as compared to January 2025, we were also down in our overtime expenditures. Our non-reimbursable overtime month to month from December 25, we were down in January. Non-reimbursable overtime year to year from January of 25, we were up in January of 26. The reason for being up in non-reimbursable overtime year to year is that in January 26, we're seeing the brunt of our short staffing issue come to filling our mandatory minimums in our beats and covering the city on a day-to-day basis. We are spending more money to do so. You can contrast this directly with our reimbursable overtime, which sort of is the other side of the coin. Reimbursable overtime can include grant-funded operations, can include businesses that contract the city to pay for police presence outside of their business. Whereas last year, there were a number of large corporations that paid for EPD presence outside of their stores. In this current year, we do not have any of those current contracts. So you'll see the reimbursable overtime monies appear to be much smaller this year as compared to the prior year.
These were coming. Let me go back. It's a foundation, but are we fully staffed? Or is the region not fully staffed yet, right? That's what I thought. There were two retirements, and at least that I know of.
We're six short right now. We have two people got CJOs, conditional job offers from other departments. That's eight. And we have two people on long-term disability and another person who will probably be leaving between now and July going to the East Coast. So we're on 11. This is the highest vacancy rate that we've had. I've been here about 6 years.
And you're still trending very good with the numbers. I appreciate that.
We have three people going to the academy, but that's a long-term hire, so that's like 2 years before they're up and running. But that's what we're doing.
And so we might see the overtime reimbursable and the non go up.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for
vacation. Yes.
Summer. I have nothing further on this.
No other questions.
Do you have?
Yes.
No, wait a second. It's not yet over. You have to go for the February. Yeah.
February, you'll see the number one expenditure was reimbursable overtime. This was strictly from grant-funded operations, which yield citations, arrests, things like that. So that money should be coming back to the city. Everything else follows the same trend of backfill for officers due to vacation or going to court or any reason you can think of where they couldn't cover their beat for that day. We need to fill that position to ensure we got adequate staffing for the day. From January into February, overtime was down again. So sort of doubly down from when we saw it in December. And from February of last year into February of this year, it was down by almost $50,000. Non-reimbursable overtime is down from 89 now to 47. And from year to year, sorry, that was January to February. From last February into this February, it's pretty flat, about 47 to 51. Reimbursable overtime was up in February as compared to January because we didn't do any of the grant operations in January, but we've done several in February. And reimbursable overtime was way down from February of 25, which again speaks to the large corporations that we used to have contracts with that are not currently funding those contracts.
Is there a public comment on item 6.?
Yes, there is.
6.3, we are at department overtime report.
Yes. Finishing up what I was saying before, the reason why Captain Kalange is a bad hire is because, as I pointed out, my family was doxxed by EPD. So I simply asked our new captain, tell me what went wrong. The department did it. That's indisputable. tell me what went wrong, apologize, and then show me how you're going to protect my family and other people in Emeryville from being doxxed by the by EPD in the future. Show me what protections you're putting in place for the public safety. I simply asked for that. And Mr. Collange just chose to utterly ignore me. The message I'm getting is, you know, I would be willing to take an apology and an explanation. And that information, I've been good with that. But by ignoring me, now I'm more angry. And so now the message I'm getting from EPD is, attention, Brian, please take us to court over this. I don't want to take EPD to court, but that's the message you guys are sending me through your higher collage. It's a bad idea. You're supposed to cultivate compassion to the community. It's in the guidelines. Cultivate compassion. Community police it. Listen to the community. Interact with the partner with the community. This ain't it. And then I wanted to say to the mayor, who's refusing to look at me right now, and that's a violation of the code of ethics. Our city manager and our city attorney have weighed in on this, and they have said that the at community meetings, the elected officials and government officials, like the rest of them here, are supposed to be actively listening to the public when they speak. But you can see here the mayor refuses to do it. And there, now she finally did it. You're violating the code of ethics. Stop violating the code of ethics.
Thank you for your comment. Moving on to the next item, annual police report by Captain Collange.
Thank you, ma'am. There's a glossy printout, and it's largely reflected in the paper printouts that's attached to the agenda packet. This is full credit, faith and credit to Lieutenant Rojas for piecing this together. This is our annual report, which we present to you now. There's some on the table, but actually, sorry. We all heard the message from our chief of police. Chief Jennings, do you have any opening comments before we launch into this?
No, thank everyone for putting this together. And all the work that we'll see done is by the officers that we have.
This is our command staff. I was hired in December. Lieutenant Rojas was promoted last August. Police Services Manager Bouzet is a longtime employee of the Emeryville Police Department. She's in charge of our dispatch records communication section. And Lieutenant Richard Lee was promoted in December. He is in charge of our patrol side of the house. These are the seven sergeants that currently serve the EPD, Sergeant Castellanos, Shepard, Mayorga, Salayas, and Andres are all in patrol. Sergeant Lee is the admin sergeant, admin and training sergeant. Sergeant Shepard is our detective sergeant. Sorry, two Sergeant Shepherds. Sergeant Ron Shepard is our detective sergeant. Sergeant Michelle Shepard is a patrol sergeant.
You're married, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Well, this has changed. But last year, at one point, we had 88% of our authorized positions, which was 51 to 58. We have 40 sworn and about 18 non-sworn professional staff. Two officers retired. The 35 sworn and 60 professionals after what we had. Employed at the time last year. Two officers retired, which we talked about at the last meeting. A police services technician was hired. That's Chad, who you see in the lower right picture, standing with Chief Jennings. One captain was hired, and one dispatcher was hired. The dispatcher's on the top left photo of this dispatcher phone.
Is that our Chad who got just recently hired?
Yes.
Right.
Succession, we discussed this already, but two officers retired. That's former acting captain Fred Dower and officer Eric White. Three officers were promoted to sergeant, which include Officer Salayas, Officer Andres, and Officer Mayorga. Those are all now sergeants. We saw the pictures on the early slides. And two officers were assigned as field training officers for in anticipation of much hiring over the next year. We'll need to be doing a lot of field training. So we need field training officers to conduct that training. The demographics of the department include 33 male employees and 18 female employees, breakdown by race, can be seen there. With any questions about this one?
Okay, coming for all the female hires, especially because it's Women's History Month. So.
Yes.
Amongst the sworn officers, what is the distribution of male versus female?
There we go. Next slide.
That's excellent.
Good question. This breakdown is 80-20, basically, percentage breakdown.
And so with the female hiring, we've been really intentional in hiring quality people, regardless of race, gender, sex. But when I started, we were like 9% female. Now we're 20. And we have a couple people who are interviewing. So there's a whole trend for 30 and 30. 30% of your officers should be female by 2030. And we're on pace to make that. I'm really particularly pleased with that. No. And they're doing a good job.
I mean, I know you haven't done a full study of this, but like, you know, relative to other departments in the area, is this breakdown fairly common
for female officers? The trend is for 10% of your organization, and we're at 20%.
Okay. So we're still a low number, but
yeah, a small number, but better than my percentages. I like this percentage.
Yeah. I think you've historically been in Alameda. You've historically been on the higher end for diversity and female hires.
I like to. Well, yes, females for sure. I don't know about the whole county's pretty diverse on this side, Berkeley, us, Oakland, and you get to some other parts, they could probably do a little bit better, but I think we do a good side on this side of the county.
This is. Familiar chart. We just looked at a bunch of these charts for our crime staff, but this is 2024 versus 2025. So you'll see reductions in auto burglary, commercial burglary, uptick in residential burglaries last year, large drop in grand theft, a uptick in petty theft, drop in auto theft, and an uptick in arsons. Just year after year, things change. We try to adapt and react to the crime trends as they are presented to us.
How did there was so much arson? I mean, maybe it's just like the numbers are different, but the percentages, this is percentages, right?
This is numbers. There were more numbers. There were a few what we believe are serial arsonists that were lighting bushes on fire along the railroad tracks and sort of piles of debris. So that seems to have subsided thus far in 2026, but there was a period last year where it was an elevated dump. Fire insights in that issue. There was a homicide in 2025, which was in custody in the moment, basically. I did not work at the time. Chief, do you have any facts around that?
Yeah, there's a homicide, person in custody, and going to trial. And so it's good. I mean, it's bad that a homicide happened, but it's good that we captured the person and they'll be held to justice.
Not that the homicide didn't occur when the person was in custody. The person who committed is in custody. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. Suspect.
It's not. Yeah. Okay.
Robberies were down to only 56 last year as compared to 100 the year prior. Carjacking was down from 6 in 24 to 1 in 2025. Aggravated assault were down as well, and simple assault were slightly down. Crime overall was down 20% from 2024 to 2025. And also within this chart, you can see that the ratio maintains sort of that 85-15 split that we've seen repeatedly now. Adult arrests. This is sort of the left side is a demographic breakdown, which shows you the race of the arrestees. And then on the right side are the tallies, sort of the raw numbers for how many people were arrested under each of those categories. Juvenile arrests, you'll see that 89% were released to a parent or guardian upon being detained, which, as I mentioned earlier, is the preferred stance that we take when we make arrests. We're not trying to perpetuate carceral system of juveniles. Two were brought to juvenile hall, and two were brought to a group home. The allegations of crime against the juveniles, this is the whole year's worth of data, included vandalism, simple assault, resisting arrest, petty theft, arson, robbery, possessing a stolen vehicle, and concealed firearm. EPD uses of force. There were 59 incidents, which is like a call for service. Anytime you call the police, you get an incident number. So out of the multiple thousands of incidents last year, there were only 59 wherein a use or show of force occurred by the police. Those uses and or shows of force include controlling force, handgun display only, just pointing their gun at or towards somebody, takedown, a strike, use of a pressure point, pain compliance, or the use of a canine. Citizen injury, the vast majority, there were no injuries resulting from any of these uses or shows of force. In a few, there were abrasions and lacerations. The bone fracture here, I looked into, this is sort of the data capturing issue with one of our systems, but this bone fracture occurred when a suspect that was fleeing from the police leapt from a balcony and broke his leg as he landed. It was a multi-story building, leapt from a high level and broke his own leg jumping off the balcony. So because we were attempting to apprehend him, we countered it as sort of like an in-custody situation, but it was nothing that an officer physically did to that person to cause the bone fracture. Complaints of pain and then contusions, so the other types of injuries. So, internal affairs, this is sort of setting the table. Internal affairs, formal complaints receive a finding. These are the definitions of those findings. A finding could be unfounded, exonerated, not sustained, or sustained. These are government code definitions and commonly used within law enforcement. These are our stats for complaints. There were 6 complaints filed, which involved 9 personnel. It was only 0.01% of the calls for service, so similar to what we saw in uses of force. So few of these calls for service or interactions with the residents and visitors to Evergo resulted in a complaint and or a use of force. There were 13 total allegations across those 9 personnel within the 6 cases. These were the findings of those allegations. Communications section, 7,848 911 calls were answered. 98.33% of those were answered in under 20 seconds. This is a staggeringly good number. The dispatchers are well-versed and super capable of responding to these calls and are often available to pick up. We have a unique overlapping schedule structure. So there's 2 during the busiest times of the day and week, and 1 in the quieter hours. 36,383 calls for service. So that's where we get those very fractional pieces of complaints, fractional uses of force. This is how many interactions officers had with people last year. And of that, 3,598 police reports were generated.
This unit, that's a great unit. And 2 of the dispatchers are becoming peace officers. And so this is part of our vacancy rate that's going to ask problems. And so now we're down to 6 dispatchers once they leave, coming up soon, going to the academy. So it's kind of, it's in my philosophy in growing our own, where we hire people at a lower rank, and we hope they aspire to do more in our organization, and 2 are taking us up on that. And also Chad is also put in for being an officer, also he's interviewing here. So that'll be, again, another part of the succession planning that I was hoping was going to work, and it is working, but it leaves us short in other places.
So they come in with us.
Yes, they're all working with us, and 2, so 2 dispatchers that become cops, and Chad, our parking enforcement, is also going to go to the academy.
Chad is in parking enforcement or?
Parking enforcement. So 2 in dispatching, 1 in parking enforcement. Still, of our professional staff, I hope to give them opportunities to grow in the office.
Property and evidence. We had 1,468 items booked into evidence last year, which were recovered by officers, packaged, and deposited into our evidence unit. And 2,900 items were purged. So this is good. We're making space in our shelves and in our facility to add items. I would be concerned if I saw the opposite, where we took in more items than we were able to purge. Purging is done pursuant to extant law and policy. Some cases when they've reached their natural conclusion, or they can no longer be charged by statute of limitations, or have been fully adjudicated, are then become eligible to be purged. And there's a sequence of steps that our property and evidence technician goes through to release those properly.
Okay. So also we have like four Connex boxes with a pop. We're not aware of. So we have our property room inside the PD, which is full. That's what we're cleaning out. We also have four other Connex boxes full of property. And so every time we're purging evidence, it's basically done on overtime, on weekends, because it's only one person assigned the property. And so it's been going on the whole time I've been here, because they weren't doing it before I arrived. And it's been 5 years of purging properties just to get a couple comments filled. So that's how much evidence we take in. One detail, I mean, this is one detail right here. That's all that one detail.
Well, I mean, the evidence that you've taken in is like a lot of guns.
See? You've done a lot of guns.
Yeah. So these are from apprehending people on, like, in cars or vehicles, that's where you, or at, in homes, I mean, that is...
It's a mix. Most of the time, well, in the past 2 months, I'll speak to this year's stuff because I've been around and witnessed a lot of it. It's been a lot of apprehending people in cars.
Hi.
Yes. I can't speak to these exact photos, but...
Yeah, maybe some of them are. Are they from this year? All these photos are from this year or next year?
Big ones from this year. I don't know about the but I think probably so. Not this year, but 2025.
Records section facilitated 17 public records requests and releases. 22 records were sealed. 1,372 reports were released. 703 subpoenas were processed. 203 DA requests were processed. DA requests include requests to share evidence, including reports, body camera footage, statements, things like that, with them to support their prosecution efforts. This unit is one person with a supervisor. Traffic enforcement. Traffic stops saw a 3% increase. I think we may have discussed it at the last meeting, but in 2026, the department, through Chief Jennings' direction, is focusing on moving violations, which is dangerous driving violations, not equipment violations, such as expired registration only or a license plate night, something like that. So we saw a 3% increase in traffic stops, a 7% increase in moving violations. And then we continue to staff our parking enforcement unit, which includes Mr. Chad Howard Simons, as well as two others. And they wrote an incredible 5,286 parking citations, just 2.5 employees, full-time employees last year.
We have a lot of people with parking issues then? Or at least that seems to show that.
So our major thoroughfares, our major parking areas, that's where a lot of people will double park, leave the cars for long periods of time, not pay their fares. And so part of the emphasis why we got the parking enforcement is to keep people moving so other people could come in and shop and try to keep commerce flowing freely. Even with these numbers, there's been substantial periods of time where we only had one person working. That's just one of their duties. They're doing other things too. We're trying to get them to learn how to write police reports, like cold police reports and other things, getting to expand their abilities to help the department. And so it could be expanded. That's one of the things that generally pays for itself. Yes.
Traffic collisions. Non-injury collisions saw a 21% decrease. Injury collisions were up 47% to 84. There were zero fatal collisions, which was down from the year prior. And there was a 7% increase in hit and runs. So the number of collisions was about flat between these two, but the injury collisions was increased. So this informs our current effort to invigorate, inspire the officers to make dangerous driving violation stops to protect the overall community. Grants in 2025 included officer traffic safety grants, $55,000, CHP cannabis enforcement. This is for driving while high enforcement grants. in the next, in 2027's year report about this current year, you'll see a photo where we recovered three rifles from a car where people were smoking marijuana in the car. That led to the sort of reason, motivation for this, for the enforcement stop. So just because you asked a question about stops earlier, but these.
Yeah, and actually, I was wondering, do they have a license to carry this, or are they just carrying these?
The weapons? No, they do not have a license to carry them. Most of those weapons that you saw, especially the longer firearms, the rifles, are illegal in and of themselves.
That's what I thought.
We also do Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control operations with local liquor stores and tobacco sales, so flavored tobacco to juvenile tobacco operations to enforce those codes. The state Homeland Security grant that was received last year by the department was used to support five or six flock cameras that were installed in the city. ABC is another form of alcohol sales enforcement grant. And then the Patrick Leahy BVP, this is grant money that is afforded to police departments to outfit their officers with new body-worn armor, bulletproof vests, ballistic vests. Little BVP stands for. You get the idea. So the state reimburses for the cost of that. Those things have a expiration date of shelf life. And so every 5 years, the officers are renewed in their vest.
Did you get any grants for the drones?
No, we did not receive any grants from drones. So we paid for that through existing money that we had in our budget that we had to find. It was a scramble. But that's what we paid it with.
Because I see you have a lot of money coming in from the DUI enforcements and also a lot of money for tobacco sales enforcements. But those like flock cameras and drones seem to be more of the modernized equipment that you need to upgrade your equipment, right?
Well, that's correct. But all these grants are specific. They have a cause and what you have to do, what you can spend it for. Most of the grants that we, the past few grants that we might get from the county to pay for some property, but most of these are action and education. So we got to do enforcement, we got to educate the public. That's why for our community outreaches and stuff. So we search for grants. We all do it kind of ad hoc. We don't have a grant research person, but as you can see, when you first started, we had very few grants when I first got here, and now we've $500,000 to a little more $250,000 because we're searching them out. And we push the drive down for the officers, the sergeants to run the grants. So they're growing and learning also at the same time to visit. The benefit is that we paid for vehicles. I did pay for some vehicles as grants, the two electric vehicles and electric motorcycle. So we're trying to do what we can when they come out. We apply.
That's great. That's good to know. And yeah, we will definitely try to help. Whatever we find. I think a lot of times people will send council members notice of rents, so we can forward those to you to see.
I know you have, Mayor. I know you sent us a grant before, and we'll always look into it because you never know. Because you never know if we get it. Sometimes it was one grant where we had the drama where Oakland did not put in for that grant, and then several folks here thought we didn't put in for the grant, but we did put in for the organized retail theft grant. And then we did put in for it, but we didn't get accepted.
Should have got accepted because we had Apple and we had so many stores that
we were having problems.
Yeah, but that's sometimes it's just the
other areas
coming. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're still looking for any organized retail theft grants that came up, but we're always going to put in.
Great. Good too.
Community outreach. The department participated in 53 community events over the course of last year. A selection of them are present on screen there. You that I was able to jump in on the last part of the year, just resoundingly positive, excellent feedback from the community. It's really nice to support. So continuing with our Coffee with a Cop series this year, we've done three already in 2026. We have the Special Olympics Torch Run coming up in a few weeks that we'll be participating in. And then many of these same things you'll see popping up on the calendar as the year progresses. Training. This is a big topic. This topic is a speaks to our current short staffing issue. And even of the officers that we already employ, many of them are young and new in their careers relatively. And so they require a little bit extra training and attention. There are also some mid-career folks that we're hoping to inspire to take on supervisory leadership roles. And so things such as the thing that Inner Perspectives, which Officer Werther participated from, is a 5-month program, which was developing leadership potential in Officer Werther. A few officers and professional staff were able to attend the Women Leaders in Law Enforcement Conference. And Officer Rodriguez became a certified drug recognition expert. She was also awarded the department's MAD award, which was a high praise, a great honor for her. She's a very youthful and positive force.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I would add, so this is to emphasize the fact that we are really young. We have to invest money into the young officers so it ended up being, we continue going to be a great organization. Priscilla, Officer Rodriguez is a perfect example, less than 5 years in, already a MAD recipient, officer, one of our highest performing officers, truly cares about, participates in all the community events. And so I always looking for, if you don't come in well-rounded, I'm going to try to make you well-rounded by making community engagement one of our core values, second to actually crime fighting. And people know they want to get ancillary jobs, promote, become an investigator. They got to be whole. They got to fight crime and also care about what we're doing with the community. And it's creating a culture and it's getting a lot of momentum. We get a lot of participation now. It's pretty good.
Was there something I saw about Nova?
Well, there's noble participators in some things, but
because I know you're going to have the conference in May.
Yeah, we're having a conference in May at the Hilton. I'll just in the opening, but yeah, it'll be a big conference, a learning conference.
Yes, very glad that it's happening here in the city. So.
Yes, you're lucky to get that coming, and hopefully, you get a lot of participants.
Our social media team, this is an ancillary assignment. A few different officers have been trained and are trusted with developing social media posts and Nixle alerts. The Instagram and Facebook is often used to advertise community events and or demonstrate our current enforcement efforts or sort of trajectory that the department is going behind. The Nixle alerts are largely reserved for emergency communications such as to avoid an area or a certain street shut down, things of that nature. Discussed a lot of this already. Largest thing on the horizon is that succession planning. We have, in addition to the officer shortage that we currently foresee, there's 22 of our current officers are eligible to retire today if they want to. So we have a potential of reaching a 40% vacancy rate, which is devastating. It's really hard to function with that low numbers. But we are committed and being very intentional and effortful in locating good candidates to come and play with us. And I think we've hit all of these other points. One of the current tech projects that we're working on is the e-citations. So you can picture a classic officer writing out a ticket on a piece of paper and it's multiple copies, then they hand you a copy and the detainee a copy as they leave the stop. This is an electronic form of that. So the officer fills it all in on a, basically like a tablet, and it prints out from a printer in the vehicle. And then the officer gives the copy to the physical copy to the detainee, and the electronic copy is forwarded to the courts after some internal quality assurance. So this is something that's we've been beta testing for the past few weeks. Had good. we've had some issues with it, but we've been working through. So got through a couple bugs, but we've had positive response from our motor officer. He likes it a lot. He thinks once it's up and running properly, that it'll be an efficiency tool.
Also sustainability, right? You want to help to, right?
Paperless, yeah, right. It can last longer.
Yeah, and I was wondering, you still have to print, or is there a way to just send in the ticket somewhere?
That's a very good question. So there, the printed copy is sort of for their convenience.
I see.
There is a way that they can be sent a digital copy of the ticket. They do not have to accept the paper copy, but there is a sort of confirmatory finger signature on the tablet.
Okay.
that, you know, I'll have to sign a piece of paper to acknowledge that they understand they received a ticket. Drone, we discussed a dispatch phone tree was implemented earlier this year, which improves the routing of calls. So as we discussed dispatch, it used to be that any call to the police department went through dispatch, which had sometimes the unintended effect of distracting dispatchers from actual emergency calls. And so this phone tree is now for the non-emergency line. So if you call 911, that's for emergencies. If you call the non-emergency line, that goes into a phone tree, and then it just sort of routes you and acts as the operator rather than having a 911 dispatcher be tied up with that, trying to figure out who you need to talk to, how to forward the call over there. That was the presentation.
Yeah, this constitutes a year over year 20% decrease in crime overall from 2024 till now. And I haven't done a complete study, but I know it's the lowest crime rate we've had in at least the last 6 years. And I'd venture to guess probably the last 10 years, which is pretty substantial considering the high point during the 2018-19 George Floyd incidents that we're having. We're well below those numbers. And at one point, my regional partners have went above their original numbers, and we've always stayed below. We've crept up, and we never went over those numbers, and now we're going back down. And so I'd like to thank all my officers, if they ever watch this. I've thanked them before, but it's because the new energy that we've influxed in the department, a lot of the changes in positions, promotions, some people who have status quo philosophies to people who are really energized to do something good. I've empowered them and energized them to do what they want to do in this office. You can make this career what you want it to be. And a lot of people are really taking it on and really enjoying themselves right now. But we're going to come into the issue with staffing, and that's going to wear out all of us. We might be working, me and the captain and lieutenant might be working patrol, and other agencies they've had commanders work patrol just to cover some shifts. And I've done it in my past life and other organizations, but it was more out of just being out there as a esprit de corps. But this might be more out of necessity. Mm-hmm. So we're an interesting time, but we'll get through it. There's always ebbs and flows. Yeah. So
you've done good so far. I think you got very many compliments from the community. And you too, Captain Kalonj, I've heard that you were a hit at the last ECC meeting. All right, thank you so much for the presentation.
Great. And we can't do it without the support of the council. That, I think, has really been the big difference in my time, is just the collaboration, your willingness to listen and to take on new ideas, for good or for bad. You know, I think that collaboration has been very helpful for the organization. They feel supported. They don't feel like, you know, it's a fight. You know, we get what we can get, and, you know, and we'll take what we have. We know it's a fair evaluation of resources, and that's all we can hope for.
We really appreciate you. And not only are you working well with council, you're working well with the communities. You too, I know you do so much for the community. I don't want to be only like sitting there, and I know you did your chief, is my belief, it's a fantastic event. But yes, both, I'm really, really, really glad we have two great chiefs in our city who are doing really well for
If I may add, since Chief Jen has been here as the police chief, and then when I was in the county prior to him, coming in, seeing a big difference in community events that was done in the past compared to now. And I commend your team. Y'all doing a wonderful job. Wonderful job.
I really like that camaraderie that you have, even with your stations are side by side. You attend each other's events, and it's very nice that you support each other.
I have no questions.
Do you have another comment?
Yes, I do. So it's all rah-rah EPD here at this meeting. EPD is great. That's what I'm hearing from the elected officials and from the cops themselves. They're saying, we're great. And I will say that there are some really good cops here on our force. Like, Priscilla Rodriguez, Officer Rodriguez. She's a fantastic public servant, a great cop. She was a great hire. But we have a lot of bad cops here. And so, you know, like, they all can't be good, but you got a good one, an excellent one. You got others, but Priscilla Rodriguez, excellent cop. So here I'm looking at this here now. I paid for this glossy four-color, really expensive thing. I open it up. The first thing I see is a community outreach, Peace in the Park. And it says right here, reinforcing collective dedication to peace, trust, and mutual respect within the community at the Peace in the Park event. I got assaulted by Sergeant Edward Mayorga at the Peace in the Park event. So this is propaganda. This whole thing is like government propaganda. I don't want to pay for government propaganda. So, but I have to pay for this. If I don't pay for this, I get thrown in a cage. But how about a little bit of truth telling? How about, like, you can tell us when you're great, and then you tell us when you're not so great. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear truth. I don't want to hear just how wonderful PPD is. You know, I'm paying for this shit show, frankly. You know, and having said that, we have this good cop. So there's one cop in this room that's not good, and then you're not that cop. You're a good cop, but there is another cop in this room that's not good. So, and then I will say further, at the department, there's a wholesale ignorance of the trespass law. I know because I've inquired among the officers and the sergeants and whatever. The wholesale ignorance. You should fix that.
Are there any future agenda items?
This is a. Well, I'll say it now, and you can let me know if it doesn't fit. Would it be possible to add to the regular crime statistics, like traffic citations or moving violation citations? Is that something that would be?
I think with the east side to be a lot easier, but before in the past, it was, we can do it. It was, and since we're only doing it every other month, you can do it. But before it was difficult because we had to hang out. The system we have, so I think there's a way to do it now. So
if it
so you just want movers or you want all of it?
I think moving violations would be my
priority.
The things that are likely to increase decrease dangerous driving potential. So I think we can start there.
So you just want to add it to the statistic?
Yeah, it's not a future agenda item, but
it's a request to add.
Yeah, request to add.
Okay, it's easy to do. It sounds like it is super easy to do, and you can make it happen.
He thinks it's easy. I don't know have to ask the other people, but I think it's pretty easy.
I actually have another request to add to. You know, at one point you had presented the flock. The statistics showing that, and I thought we were adding those on a month-to-month basis, but I did not see that after that one report that Lieutenant Bauer provided. And that was actually very helpful to determine how many cars are there in the daytime, month-to-month, and if there's an increasing trend, or, you know, cars as well. I think you can capture motorcycles also, and you could capture anything that has a license plate, right?
Yes, ma'am. Before he was hand curating that particular thing, and I think that the transparency portal will do that. So I will look and we'll put it back on there. I think that's why it fell off because Fred left him. So we didn't have it. He was doing it by hand.
I see.
Because another officer was doing it by hand, and then Fred took it over. And so we'll look at this system and see if we can auto generate it.
If you can auto generate it, that would be very helpful. You said it's a transparency portal, and my impression was any person on the public, including me, mm-hmm. I could go ahead and access it and see the numbers. Would I be able to see the numbers for the whole month?
Yes, for 1 month, you can see the numbers. That's what we did for a month.
I see. Then I can see the numbers. So for now, if I went there, I could go back to January and see the numbers, how many cars came in.
January will be coming.
Oh, February then?
Yes.
Okay.
There are 30, they're retained for 30 days. Okay. So if it was February 23rd and March 24th, that will be on.
Okay.
So it's every month you can get the month.
If you can provide that would help.
How many vehicles are going through? Yes, we can do that.
And can you do it by streets or no? Because there are cameras on the street.
I don't know, I'm pretending to know, so I'll find out.
You can, will you let us know if because the flock cameras are on different streets, so yes, if they can be categorized by how many vehicles on this street, it would be great data to have, data to rely on. Yeah, I might have the one that Captain Dower presented, but that was about 2-3 months ago.
We'll look into it and we'll give you something that you could use.
Thank you so much. And if there are any member comments?
No member comments, thank you.
All right, in that case, the meeting is adjourned and it is now 5:14 p.m. Thank you so much.
Michelle Shepherd. Sergeant Shepard's not doing a good job. You said the female, the cops are doing a good job. She's not. Michelle Shepard, not doing a good job. Not my opinion. Yeah.